Our Stories, Our Flats acknowledges the traditional owners of the Kulin Nations. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present.
I think Carlton is a melting pot. It's a diaspora of different people. It's a place where a lot of different communities come together, and I think for the most part they live in harmony.
That was Saddam Ahmed explaining what makes the Carlton Flats a dynamic place to live. More from him later in the show. Welcome to Our Stories, Our Flats, a four-part podcast series about living and thriving in the Carlton Public Estates. Our Stories, Our Flats was created by and for the residents of the Carlton Flats. Written, produced and edited by Ayan Shoiwa. Narration by Raven. It is a free CR podcast. Special thanks to the City of Melbourne for helping us share it with the world. The Carlton Flats is home to residents from all walks of life. In this episode, you'll hear a snapshot of our community. On today's show, Saddam Ahmed discusses accessibility issues in the flats. Later in the episode, an anonymous resident shares her concerns about safety in the flats. We kick off the program with Saddam recalling a memory from school that stayed with him.
So I'm Saddam, I'm 33 and I've lived in Carlton since 1997, July of 1997. I think the best memory is probably going to the local school. It had its challenges, but it really gave me resilience. So I enjoyed going to the school, even though it was a bit challenging. The only visually impaired student in the class. So, you know, that made it a bit difficult interacting with my peers and the people around me or the classmates. But it was quite dynamic and I think I got the best support. But I think it sometimes wasn't a nurturing environment looking back. I think it did me well in the end. I went to a specialist school as well as being mainstream educated. And I think that helped to offset the environment that I was in, which wasn't, you know, I think conducive to a blind person. I think it's not the fault of the teachers. I think they were not trained in dealing with visual impairment because it's a specialized area. And so I think they did the best they could with the resources they had, but definitely going to a specialist school did help me in my education to, you know, to get the fundamentals and to get that specialist support. I think that was a very important decision that was made.
Residents we've spoken to have expressed frustration about how the redevelopment plan was reported to the community.
It was poorly mismanaged, the way that it was conveyed. I think it could have been communicated more promptly and also with a bit more compassion. I think that these buildings maybe have reached end of life, so maybe sometimes it's good to have a fresh start, but I think it wasn't communicated very well and the community's fears weren't addressed properly. I think definitely the government should have done better to convey what was going on better. No, I didn't get anything accessibly. I just heard it through the grapevine and also, you know, there was some door knocking that was going on, but I didn't get any accessible literature or anything like that. That's a good example, I think, as well, that, you know, documentation wasn't handed out in accessible format and, you know, it just was very poorly conveyed. And even now, I think it's a lot of the details are quite murky, I mean, to this day. So I hope for the best that something like this will have a positive effect. But, you know, it's a grand scale of movement. I think there will be disappointment and tears. But maybe a fresh start is, I think, good. But it's definitely poorly mismanaged and not conveyed well at all.
So with the building, how would you describe the accessibility standard? Is it accessible? And if not, what could be done differently?
There's Braille on the lifts, and the lifts do talk. But I think that the design of getting around it, I think, can be sometimes challenging. Certainly where I am, I found the previous building that I was in was more conducive to a blind person to get around. You know, a lot of places here, like they're adjacent and there are corridors that go into to funny places, that kind of thing. So definitely some of the buildings are more friendly than others, I would say.
Do you feel like you could advocate for yourself and for your community with housing? Is it easier to do, or are you more on the cautious side when it comes to like advocating for the things that you need in the building?
I think I'm a good advocate for myself, and I, you know, stand up for where I can. But, you know, it's an exhausting process. So, you know, you want to take care of your mental health. So, you know, I pick my battles where I need to fight, but, you know, you can't fight everything. So I think you have to be strategic with these kind of things. So I started Accessible Technology Solutions when I finished my studies, and back in 2016. And the main reason for starting it is, you know, employment can be very tough for people living with disability. You know, there's a lot of resources out there, but employers traditionally have been very reluctant to take on people with disabilities. And so it's a chance for myself to carve out a small niche for myself. And, you know, we do accessibility consulting for companies to make their apps and websites more accessible for people that use adaptive technology, like a screen reader. And it was just started off as a little hobby to sort of build my own website, but it's turned into sort of my own side hustle and something that I'm very proud of, because it not only gives me revenue, but it gives me a sense of purpose, and which I'm very proud of.
Blind or vision impaired individuals face discrimination in the job market. A 2021 employment survey by Vision Australia found that more than half of employers had never considered hiring a person with a vision impairment. These are stark figures. While workplaces try to catch up, residents like Saddam Ahmed have had to create opportunities for themselves. Saddam is an example of the resourcefulness of marginalized communities. You're listening to Our Stories, Our Flats, a 3CR podcast by and for the residents from the Carlton Public Flats. Next is a former teacher from South America who has chosen to remain anonymous. We asked her thoughts on safety and security in the flats.
I am a woman. I have been a teacher for many, many years. I studied in my country. When I came to Australia, after maybe 2 years, I started to teach again, and I had a really good time with my students. I have taught ESL, and within ESL, I did literacy, and which was really, really interesting. It was a pleasure to be with my students. We had a really, really good time. They learned a lot, and we were all happy together. And I've been in Carlton for some years, which I can't remember how many years, but I remember when I came to Australia, I was alone. I lived in different places. I went to live in St. Kilda. I got very scared because where I live, in my flat, there were just windows at the front. My neighbor was an Australian man who was coming from prison. I was not scared of the guy, but the problem was that he found a girlfriend. They went out together, and when they came back, all the friends were with alcohol and a bit of substance abuse. So I was really worried that they could come into my flat through the windows, because there were just windows. Then I live in Fitzroy, and they demolish the apartments. So I live in many different places. I think before that, I needed to find somewhere to live. So I applied to be in housing. And I remember they gave me to live a flat in the red flats. And I went, and the red flats were so tiny. And one of them was very high, maybe level 16. I got very scared and claustrophobic. They gave me another flat. I can't remember which floor, but I found it the same. I mean, too tiny. And they said to me, okay, if you don't accept the next one, we won't give you anything. So they gave me one here in Carlton, a bit closer to transport, and the flats were bigger, and I was really happy in my flat. I felt safe, I felt secure, I have a place to live, because I have always been like independent, I mean, and I live alone. I wasn't scared to live in Carlton. I remember when I was younger, I used to go dancing in Fitzroy, and I walked from Fitzroy here, sometimes at 3 o'clock in the morning, alone. Sometimes we came with friends, but at the time it wasn't dangerous at all. I was very happy because there was always people in Carlton and I felt secure and in a way more like my country where you see people, you're not like in Dandenong, that after 5 o'clock you see no one and it's very, very scary. People who really could injure you, I mean, if they want to. And now when I call to complain, they answer the phone and they send someone because I had a problem with a neighbor who was, I don't know what, he has a factory upstairs. He makes a lot of noise, hammering, nailing, cutting, throwing, like he throws a whole mattress on the floor, the whole bed. Oh my God, sometimes I felt that he was going to break the ceiling and he was going to go through the ceiling on my floor. That happened for many years. I went, I wrote notes and letters and no, they did nothing, absolutely nothing. They said to us or to me, write it down. They never ever did anything.
Carlton Flats are one of the few places older residents can find affordable housing. 1 in 7 Australians experiencing homelessness is aged 55 and over. When private developers demolish our homes, where will residents like our anonymous guest be housed? Will they return to public housing once the new apartments are built? These are important questions that need answers. If you're interested in learning more about the experience of older residents in housing, check out Housing for the Aged Action Group. Housing for the Aged Action Group also hosts a radio show on 3CR Community Radio called Raise the Roof. We'll share their details in the show notes. In the final episode of Our Stories, Our Flats, we speak to Arku from 44 Flats United, and Barry from the North Melbourne Flats shares what inspired him to take Homes Victoria to court. To learn more about housing justice, head over to our 3CR website at 3cr.org.au/Our Stories, Our Flats. Our Stories, Our Flats is written, produced, and edited by Ayan Shoiwa. Narration by Raven.